Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. With me, as always, is Kyle. Kyle, we are in the off season. We're in the thick of it.
We do, yeah, yeah. We take a little break because I'm sorry, guys, but like, I can't squeeze an entire episode out of talking about an offensive line coach hire. I can't do it. Which is about the most notable thing that's happened for the Bears since our last episode where we discussed the Ben Johnson hire, which is obviously fucking huge.
Whoa, he hired Antoine Randall-L, Kyle.
That's true.
It's all right, do, that's like Scodcast favorite. One of our favorite, remember some guys, Antoine Randall-L.
There is a Scodcast Hall of Fame specifically for late 90s, early aughts Big Ten players.
Yes.
That we loved. Antoine Randall-L's in there. Drew Brees is in there. Jehu Colcrick, who was a fucking bowling ball, Travis. They wanted Notre Dame wanted no part of Jehu Colcrick.
My
why are we running the option in a monsoon?
She quoted that to me yesterday. She
oh,
was
that's
like,
true love.
She was like, Teddy Ruxpin and J.R. Puffin stuff would have done a better job.
I went looking for, I don't know if that audio is anywhere anymore. I went looking for that audio. So for anyone who's listening to this, like, what the fuck are these guys going on about? And like, more than the way you're normally like, what the fuck are these going on about? It in I think it was 2006, was it? John L. Smith's last season at Michigan State. Michigan State had a huge lead over Charlie Weiss and Notre Dame. This is back when Brady Quinn was the quarterback. They had a huge lead over Notre Dame, and they blew it. And at the time, Michigan State had kind of a thunder and lightning combo at running back. I can't remember who the lightning guy was anymore, but I remember
the Jehu Colcrick.
The thunder was a guy named Jehu Colcrick, which, again, top 10 name of all time. And Jehu Colcrick was, I mean, he was a big fucking dude. And he was just running it down.
Javon Ringer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was just running it down Notre Dame's throat all night. But inexplicably in the fourth quarter, John L. Smith started throwing the ball a lot more with the legendary Drew Stanton. Second round pick by Mike Martz and the Detroit Lions with the legendary Drew Stanton. He kept running the triple option and he kept giving the ball to Javon Ringer, who was, you know, kind of a DeAndre Swift type, you know, like little lightning fast scat pack in a driving rainstorm. These things did not go well for Michigan State. Notre Dame ended up coming back and winning. And the next day, the local sports radio station in East Lansing, this guy had an all on the radio. One of the co-hosts had just like an all time fucking complete meltdown, 20-minute rant, lost his voice, screaming, crying, choking. So many
his
fantastic one-liners.
Like trying to get him to stop.
His co-host trying to calm him down.
Your voice is going, buddy, and he's like, "I'm not gonna finish."
And he's just, and at one point, he just says the immortal line that Travis and I have yelled at each other anytime a coach goes away from the run, in our opinion, or just Jay. He yells out, he goes, "Jehu Colcrick," with his voice breaking, just like, "Jehu Colcrick was a fucking bowling ball. Notre Dame wanted no part of Jehu Colcrick." It was amazing. It was just, if you can find it, if you're a better internet sleuth than me, a year ago was the last time I went looking for the audio. Tried to find this audio, couldn't find it. But if you could find it and you send it the Scodcast's way via our Gmail, we will be eternally grateful to you. But yeah, Travis and I have been, for 20 years now, we've been throwing Jehu Colcrick was a fucking bowling ball back and forth at each other. So Jehu Colcrick's up there, Antoine Randall-L, Drew Brees, certainly. As an Illinois fan, Kurt Kitner, Brandon Lloyd, always some guys close to my heart. Brad Banks, of course, for Iowa.
My God.
He hired Antoine Randall-L. The offensive line, hold on, actually, he's going to come up a couple times. What is the name of the person they hired for the offensive line coach? I wanted to talk about that, because...
Go ahead, pull him up. Think about not handing the ball to Jehu Colcrick in a fucking monsoon.
In a fucking offensive line coach. I just started typing fucking monsoon. No, it's not Chris Morgan anymore, Google. It's not. You are out of... I will say, I had a fucking moment of heart attack when those firings were first happening, because I got an ESPN push notification, and it was like Ben Johnson not retaining, and it listed about three freaking... In the headline, it listed three Bears coaches. You know, it mentioned the wide receivers coach, whose name I don't even remember anymore, for the last regime. It mentioned a couple of the guys, but it did not mention Chris Morgan. And I was like, oh my God, if that motherfucker has managed to survive another purge somehow. I will cry. It will immediately ruin my faith in Majestic. Then, of course, it was in the text of the article, but I was like, man, yeah, if you know the Bears fandom at all, you should have led with Chris Morgan being the first guy that Ben Johnson decided he didn't keep. Anyways, the new guy, Dan Rouchard, who has a little bit of a background with the Saints, who, you know, the Sean Payton era Saints, and pretty much anyone that was tied to that group, they've had a lot of success with their offensive line. But most recently, he has been at Tulane as their offensive line coach, as Tulane has experienced a little bit of a resurgence the last couple years. In fact, beat Caleb Williams and USC in a bowl game a couple years ago. So Dan Rouchard was a big hire. And of course, like I think most Bears fans, when the Bears hired Dan Rouchard, my first response was, I don't know who that is, but he ain't Chris Morgan. But I did some reading on him. Some people that I talked to, some people that that know offensive line talk better than I do. You know, he's well regarded, and specifically the zone blocking scheme that he is known for implementing meshes perfectly, obviously, with what Ben Johnson wants to do. Ben Johnson wouldn't hire the guy if it didn't. But that's encouraging too, because I felt like the Bears kind of got away from zone blocking this year in whatever the fuck that whatever that was. Sometimes I almost feel like I have, as much as I have said to Chris Morgan over the last 3 years, like, what is it you do here? So much of that, I feel almost bad blaming him for the disaster was the offensive line this year, because it was so clearly a case where, for whatever reason, Shane Waldron was not allowed to pick his own offensive line coach, and just a total mishmash from day one of scheme and linemen and personnel made no sense to me. But anyway, so Dan Rouchard is a guy that I want to we'll talk about a little bit here. In terms of the zone blocking scheme and some and things that he's known for and how they might approach free agency, in my opinion, because of that. But yeah, we're going to talk about NFL free agency is not that far away. We're what, like 2 weeks away from legal tampering?
Yeah, I believe it's second week of March. So 2-3 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on how we decide to count on it.
As couple two tree weeks, away.
That's right.
So anyways,
So, perfect time to talk about free agency, to talk about just the offseason plans for the Bears in general. Kyle, I would say this might be the first time that I could remember that everyone seems aligned on what the Bears should do. National media, local media, fans, we're all together on this one. We know what the Bears should do. Do you think that's what the Bears think the Bears should do?
It felt like a poorly kept secret that Ben Johnson all along was the head coaching hire that the Bears were going to make, to the point that you and I didn't trust it because it felt too obvious. And there was too much to hope for.
Well, the last time that happened, we just juked ourselves out and didn't take that guy.
In the same nature, it feels like the worst kept secret in football right now, that if, barring a late minute change of direction, if the Chiefs don't go all out to retain Trey Smith, it sure seems like he's going to be a Chicago Bear. Yeah. There's obviously connections to Ryan Poles, was in the room when the Chiefs drafted him, scouted him extensively. Trey Smith's apparently his girlfriend lives in Chicago, if that's relevant. There just seems to be just a lot of smoke, you know, a couple of the big scoops guys, you know, the guy, you know, Schefter, I think, had something about it. Pelissero had something about it. A lot of people connecting those dots. And I think here at the Scottcast, you know, we're not going to disagree that, like, the number one move the Bears should make, assuming that guy actually does hit free agency. I'm almost not letting myself do that, because I feel like so many times we have said, like, the obvious move if this guy hits free agency, and the rumor right now is he's gonna. I felt like we did this a couple years ago with Darren Payne, where it was like 2 days out from free agency, everyone was like, the Commanders are going to let him hit. They're going to let him hit free agency, and that's such an obvious fit. The Bears should sign him, blah, blah, blah. And then the Commanders put the fucking tag on him at the last possible second. Ruined the Bears' whole offseason plans, I think, that year. Right now, the vibe is that the Chiefs are going to let Trey Smith walk, but at the same time, we just watched the Eagles completely embarrass that offensive line in the Super Bowl. And if you're Kansas City, does that make you reconsider your long-term plan, and do you really let one of the few bedrocks that you have on the offensive line walk right now? It sounds like they're still going to, but you know, we've been disappointed. Like I said, we've been hoodwinked, bamboozled by these kind of rumors before.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like plan A, B, and C is sign Trey Smith, and then everything kind of comes after that. It's hard to think of something else that the Bears might want to do with this money, right? They made some moves. They've cut some guys who, you know, maybe they were going to cut anyway, but they've just added to the cap room they were going to have.
We should probably mention the guy that they cut, actually. I guess I don't think anyone is surprised that Gerald Everett is gone.
Yeah.
You know, I have to feel like...
Chargers get a compensatory pick for that, Kyle.
Jesus fucking... Okay.
They got free money because we signed Gerald Everett.
Oh, that is that. Okay, well, flash debate, Travis. Is that more or less embarrassing than giving up a comp pick for Byron Pringle? Dun, 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 dun.
Oh.
You're in the octagon.
Well, it's
comp pick for Pringle, comp pick for Gerald Everett. Which
one's more embarrassing? I think Byron Pringle is less embarrassing because there was actual potential there.
Was there?
Everett was already on the downside of his career, but you're bringing in a guy at a position where he's covered up, where he shouldn't be playing. That's what I think. I think Everett's actually worse than Byron Pringle. Byron Pringle saw action, Kyle, unfortunately.
I mean, Gerald Everett saw action. That was the problem.
That's a good point. Jesus Christ.
I mean, we knew from week one when the game plan featured a lot of Gerald Everett that, like... Yeah. Something was maybe amiss with Shane Waldron's big football brain.
This is actually a
good remember. Time. Actually, do you remember last preseason? You know, there was an article that came out that was like Gerald Everett outsnapped Cole Kmet in the Bears' second and third preseason games. Does this indicate Shane Waldron's usage? And all of us were like, "No,
that would be ridiculous. Preseason.
That would be absurd.
You'd be insane.
Shane Waldron would have to be some kind of moron to do that.
Like, does he even watch tape?"
I mean, Shane come Waldron? On. Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
No.
So
he doesn't.
No, he does not. I think Byron Pringle comp pick is worse given the context. Because given the implication, you know, it's about the implication. No, because the fact that they gave up a comp pick in that 2022 offseason when they were otherwise tearing everything down to the studs.
That's very true.
You really lost a comp pick there. For Byron Pringle, whereas, you know, Gerald Everett, terrible decision, but made sense at the time when we thought they were signing a guy to be a true number two tight end in a scheme that usually utilized two tight ends in a year where they were supposed to be competitive. I can accept swinging and missing on that a little bit more than I can that you gave up a comp pick for Byron Pringle in what was a tear down to the studs year. Like, you just had to have fucking Byron Pringle to the point that you were willing to mess with your otherwise sacred draft capital. So that has been flash debate. Bah, bah, bah,
bah. There you go.
I think we all agree I won that one. Anyways.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Byron Pringle wins. This is a good time, by the way, you bringing up Byron Pringle and the release of Gerald Everett to do our yearly additions to the next Cade McNown courtesy and his Cap of Shame tournament.
Yeah, no, when the next bad Bears, I don't think we got to wait a couple years, right? Like, it's got to be.
We got three more years. Every five years, we said we would
Last year,
folks, you might remember.
Chase Claypool definitely be in the mix. Byron Pringle could be. Gerald Everett definitely could be. The Bears also cut DeMarcus Walker. where do you put DeMarcus Walker on there? Is he. I feel like he was a guy who was a perfectly cromulent DE3 who kept getting stuck on a roster that needed him to be DE2. Do I blame him for that? No. Do I blame Ryan Poles? A little bit.
Pretty good defensive end. Pretty good swing inside guy. You know, sometimes played the 3-tech in there. But yeah, as you say, that not a guy who you put at either of those positions and say, this is our guy, let's have him play 60 snaps. But we kept doing that.
Yeah, and I hope running him out there. I hope with Dennis Allen running the show on the defensive side of the ball, we are saying goodbye to the Matt Eberflus era of consistently signing defensive ends to contain the run first and foremost. I hope we are going to get back to edge rushers being prioritized for edge rushing. That would be nice. Speaking of, what do the Bears do at edge rusher this? I'm going to say this off season. We're going to talk. Obviously, we're not going to get into depth on the defensive players in the draft tonight. There's going to be a lot of draft talk coming from these quarters here in the future. But you know, I'm looking at this draft class and I'm not wowed so far by the defensive ends. And I'm looking at this free agency class and it's like, you know, Josh Sweat is a guy who is looking, you know, he's probably the free agent as far as edge rushers go in this class. But that to me, and obviously he's coming up a great Super Bowl, but that to me is when you pay a good player, like a great one. And I don't know that's the best use of their resources. Like, you know, if it's coming down to a Trey Smith and then, you know, just stop gap defensive ends versus, you know, probably giving more money than you'd like to Josh Sweat and maybe having to settle for a lower tier guard. I think I know what I'd do. I'd pick Trey Smith and just take the hit at defensive end if I had to. But like, what if you were Ryan Poles, what are you doing about edge rusher this offseason, Travis?
Yeah, I'm definitely not signing anybody who is on the open market here. I don't think any of these free agents are particularly good. I don't think any of them are huge upgrades over like even Daryl Taylor sort of guy. Like you said, Sweat's probably the marquee name. And is that like a huge upgrade over DeMarcus Walker? Really?
Well, I mean, I think it's
I don't think it would be.
We'll
say this. I'll give you a little preview of our defensive line review, our defensive line draft review here in a couple weeks. I think the real money in the second round of this draft is going to be at edge. I think there are a lot of edge rushers who are falling to the later part of the first round in some mocks and are in the second round who are simply being overlooked. And you already know one of them because I've been talking about him for more than a year. But there are more than just that one guy. I see the big value for our second round pick being at defensive end. Now, every mock draft I have seen,
Travis is somehow edging you guys a little bit already. He's edging you just a little bit.
Oh, we're edging you before
he just wants to build. Not he's not going to give it to you all tonight, but he wants to start building that anticipation.
Just the tip, maybe. But every mock draft I've seen has had the Bears taking Caleb Johnson, and I hate to speak that out of existence because I love when the Bears take Hawkeyes. That makes me very happy. But yeah, I think that would be my plan if I were Ryan Poles. I would see what I could get out of offensive line here in free agency, and obviously then you adjust accordingly in the draft. But I would say that first pick should be going towards an offensive lineman. I think those offensive linemen in the first round range this year are really good. I think there's some really solid options there. And I think the money at defensive end is in the second round and not the first. I'm a little scared about some of the top edge rushers in this draft, quite frankly. And I'm less scared about the ones going in the second round. So I don't understand what's going on here.
How would you feel about a short-term reunion with Khalil Mack?
I would love it.
Okay.
I saw somebody throw that out there, and I was like, that sounds fantastic. Give me, you know, two seasons of Khalil Mack or whatever, and then, you know, when he goes into the Hall of Fame, maybe we can convince him to wear a Bears hat. I don't know. I think we've talked about that maybe on this podcast before, but I blame Khalil Mack for none of what went wrong with that Bears team. We love Khalil Mack here.
So looking at the Bears' available cap space and looking at how Ryan Poles has typically operated in free agency, I feel like there is room for two big signings and then some smaller ones. So I guess my question is, so we agree Trey Smith should be the big signing. If you had to choose, would you do for your second big signing, Would you do like a Josh Sweat or a Top Edge, or would you be more inclined to do a center like Drew Dahlman?
Yeah, I mean, I think is there anything else we're going to say? It's going to be center that we
do
have
you address.
Had.
Well, do you address center in free agency? Not. I don't know if Ryan Poles will every year. I feel like the goddamn Dr. Manhattan meme where I'm just like, it is 2011. I am begging the Bears to just sign one of the available free agent centers. It is 2020. I am just begging the Bears to sign one of the available free agent centers. It's 2025. Just do it. Just do it. And this is where I maybe have a little bit more hope that they'll actually do that this year versus previous years. There's a lot of the people that know a little bit about Dan Rashard and his scheme are like, that is a scheme where you would prioritize a veteran center. Generally, you want a guy who can make the calls, can do all of set the protections, is savvy. And so, you know, that's where maybe Drew Dahlman would be a bigger project. Cause the option I'm thinking is, you know, looking where they'll be in the draft and with, you know, they having four top 40 picks or whatever, you know, look at some of the options. You could sign a big contract to a guy like Trey Smith. You could sign maybe Kevin Zeitler as the other guard and then look to draft your center, or you sign, you know, Trey Smith, you sign a Drew Dahlman, and then you look to draft your other guard. Just given the talent available in the draft and where they're likely to be drafting, I lean towards just fucking get your center, just get your goddamn center in free agency, and then draft your guard.
Yeah.
Draft a couple guards, just throw bodies at the problem. That's fine by me.
Yeah. I don't think signing Zeitler precludes you from getting a guard, right? I mean, Zeitler is the one one that really feels fait accompli, right?
Because right.
That Ben Johnson is our head coach. Yeah. We need a guard.
Yeah, if he's willing to take like a one-year deal, a one-year deal, that would make a lot of sense. I'd be real happy about that. And then you draft obviously someone to groom behind him. You want to be grooming young men whenever you can.
Yeah, the Bears are in a great position to get a guard. There are a lot of guards in this goddamn draft who are going to be going in the first round. And if these guys don't have, if we don't need to be starting them this year, if they're going to be behind Zeitler and Smith even, or, you know, God, offensive linemen get injured, why not have, you know,
do Odell they
Campbell, Kelvin Banks, Armaud Membo behind these guys, you know, like you could do both. You could sign all the guards and centers you need, and then you could draft a couple. You could fix the offensive line problem. And the thing is, what the hell else are the Bears going to spend this money on? You mentioned the Bears have opened up a lot of cap space. Not only do they have enough cap space to make two big signings, they sort of need to, because they have a lot of fucking money to spend on people here. And it's just not the kind of free agent class where you can blow a lot of money on one guy. It's pretty much Trey Smith. And then after that, I don't know. Are you really going to go out there and blow a bunch of money on T. Higgins?
So
probably not.
So over the cap right now has the Bears at $79 million. And, you know, if you guys ever, you know, if you're ever like, which online contract website should I look at? Should I look at Over the Cap? Should I look at Sport Track? We here at the Scottcast, we are an Over the Cap family. Okay, folks. We have some good friends who have previously worked there, have done stuff there, and so we support Over the Cap in all cap related sports website disputes. But yeah, so Over the Cap's got the Bears at $79 million. So that feels like a lot. And again, this is where you hope you get better results, but this is where you copy what we saw the Texans do last year around CJ Stroud, where they're like, we believe we have our guy at quarterback. And obviously Caleb did not have the rookie season that CJ Stroud had, but I believe Caleb shows enough that you should believe you could make the playoffs next year with Caleb Williams if you put enough around him. You should believe that. And if not, like, why are you here? You're going to get fired anyways if he's not that guy. So go big or go home. So we should be able to see them go all in around Caleb this year. And you can structure some contracts, front load some contracts if you need to structure some stuff during Caleb's cheap year to put the best possible roster around him right now. So yeah, I would think two, maybe three big contracts are even possible. Maybe you do just say, you know what, fuck it. We plug our three biggest holes, Trey Smith, Drew Dolman, Josh Sweat, Hassan Reddick, whatever, you know, let's just do it. Let's just get an edge rusher. Let's get a center. Let's get a guard. Then, you know, we can be really flexible. That is one thing I do think they should have is some flexibility in the draft with where, you know, I think they last year, the last 2 years, it felt very much like, you know, they were kind of pigeonholed where, you know, we were, you know, they, last year, I guess you could argue they didn't need to go wide receiver at the time, but I don't regret them. We both wanted them to go after Rome. I don't regret them going after Rome. I think they knew, you know, Keenan Allen was likely a 1 year rental. Then you knew long term you wanted to develop Rome. And it's important to remember that most wide receivers don't light the world on fire in year one. I think some people, I've heard some people maybe modestly concerned about Rome. I am not even kind of. I think especially when he gets into a scheme that defines his role a lot better, which I believe Jen Johnson will do, not ask him to run so many hopeless option routes out there that have just no chance of success and have the kid just lost in space.
Yeah.
But yeah, so last year they were kind of pigeonholed. We thought they really needed that long-term piece at wide receiver with that 10th overall pick. The year before that, they left themselves a gaping fucking hole at right tackle. So even though we were thrilled Darnell Wright was our guy, we did talk about how we didn't love that we felt that we had to make a move at right tackle in the draft. Yeah. Flexibility is nice, but you can have it. I do think if they make a couple moves here, if you get a Trey Smith and you do get like a Drew Dolman, or even if you just get a Trey Smith and a Kevin Zeitler, you know, you give yourself some options. They're not. And then that also, I think my most popular mock opinion for the Bears this year is probably going to be that I think if you can trade, this is the year to trade down from 10 if you can, because I think the meat of this draft is going to be between pick 20 and pick 50, and the Bears are already in good shape there to have their second round pick where they have it and to have the Panthers second round pick where they have it. It sounds like another poorly kept secret on the NFL is that Ian Cunningham likely is going to be the Jaguars GM, which will net the Bears another third round pick this year. So they'll have two thirds and that's another third that they can use maybe for ammo to even convert one of those thirds into another two. We could end up with a situation where you move back a little bit in the first, move up a little bit from the third to second, and really hammer those second round picks in an area where I think you can take a couple cracks at interior offensive line, a couple cracks at some edge prospects, like you said. So I think flexibility, in free agency, plugging your immediate holes and really giving yourself flexibility in the draft is absolutely the move this year, as opposed to, and I think Ryan Poles really looked at like the draft classes the last 2 years. And I think, you know, it sounds like early on in the process, both times he knew early on, he wanted Rome Odunze last year. Yeah. Like that was always going to be the move if Rome was there. And so I think he managed free agency with an eye towards, like, if neighbors or Odunze is there, I'm going for it. And I think the year before that, he sounds like very early on, they zoomed in on Darnell Wright. And so he managed free agency with the idea that, like, my ideal right tackle isn't here in free agency. My ideal right tackle is at Tennessee right now. It's going to be Darnell Wright. So I think hopefully this year he's not. I don't think there's anybody in this draft who's worth zeroing in on in January right now. Flexibility is going to be the name of the game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a little shout out to our draft coverage, which is coming up. Kyle and I have been eating the tape, running the numbers.
I know I have to do the spreadsheet, folks. I know I have to. But like, let's face it. Jaden Daniels he gave me the bane. He took me and he cracked my back over his knee. Mm-hmm. If I were you and I'm sitting here talking about the spreadsheet and I'm what these, but I would be like, why should I fucking listen to you? You dumbass, you dipshit, you fool, you charlatan, you con man.
It was wrong.
And I'd be like, you're right. We sat here. We said, if I'm wrong on this one, it's going to be another Josh Allen situation where it's like, oh, there's no way to see that coming. But here we are. Here we fucking are. And I will say, I do think there's a slight possibility that Jaden Daniels is still just at the higher end range of what I predicted for him. Because if you remember, when I was asked, like, what was the best case scenario I saw for Jaden Daniels, I said the best case scenario is that he retains the incredibly high completion percentage he had on short passes and retains the deep ball accuracy, even if he doesn't attempt many deep balls in the NFL. And with his mobility, he becomes basically, and he retains the lack of turnovers, because he in this spreadsheet, he was the best. I did mention he was the best guy in this, all this class, at, in terms of turnover worthy play rate. He almost never turned the ball over in college. He didn't really turn it over a lot in the NFL as a rookie. I said a supercharged turbo boost Alex Smith was like what I saw. And that's what I would argue his rookie season was. If you were to look at like Kansas City era Alex Smith, and you were to give that guy a 4-4 and a QB run and a scheme that utilized him as a QB runner, I think that's kind of what Jaden Daniels did this year. Now, obviously, he could, and you should expect a young guy, theoretically, to keep advancing. But I do think there's the possibility, given that he entered the NFL as a sixth-year senior, basically, that maybe this is just, this is who he is. He's one of those guys that enters the league kind of maxed out already. And if he doesn't ascend, if he just kind of stays where he is, I do think that is closer to like a supercharged Alex Smith than, you know, the next Lamar Jackson or what have you. But yeah, no, Jaden Daniels broke me. He did. He made a mockery of the spreadsheet. So I have not quite had the heart yet to really plug this class in. And also, like, I've been watching these quarterbacks, not as intently as I watched the quarterbacks last year, because the Bears are not drafting a fucking quarterback this year. We'll do the quarterbacks in one episode, one lump sum, just like we did a couple years back when we knew the Bears weren't taking a quarterback. But yeah, I just, this quarterback class doesn't excite me either. It's not quite 2022 where I was like, holy shit, these guys are terrible. But so far, it's just a couple guys that I'm staring at, and I'm like, maybe? I don't know.
I do not know that I have a full episode's worth of commentary on these quarterbacks. So,
we'll make it work. We'll make it work. But anyways, so yeah, in terms of crunching the numbers.
Now, luckily, guys, because my favorite thing to do during draft season is watch big sweaty man slap man meat.
Yes.
The Bears are in the market for offensive and defensive linemen, so that's all I've been watching.
Yes.
It's been great. I've been getting sweaty watching them sweat and slap each other's meat.
Yeah,
all up and down the field. So I'm all about it.
Yeah, and as far as offensive linemen go, I have reached out to my good buddy Quentin Krishko. If you're on Bears Twitter, which I'm not anymore, still keeping my exile from that hellhole, but at Butkus Stats is his name on there. He's great. He does a lot of stuff for On Tap Sports. I've talked to him. He said he's totally down to hop on for our offensive line review, because I defer to him on a lot of him and I have talked offensive line for years. He's so in depth. I really enjoy listening to him talk offensive line. I enjoy listening to Travis talk offensive line. I'd love to see those two slap their man meat together, talking about these men slapping their man meat together.
I'm very excited about this, because I could sense last year when we were talking about it, you were kind of like, this is the first time we'd been debating about a position group, and you were like, should I argue with him about this? He was really right the year before. Like,
I was proud of, you know, it's kind of funny. I do think we nailed a lot of things when it comes to the 2023 draft. And I think that fed some hubris in how we were approaching the 2024 draft, or at least it did for me. I felt like I whiffed. And even with our preseason predictions, some of the things we thought the Eagles might fall off this year. That was a bad one.
I believe I said that not only would the Cowboys win the division, but that the Eagles had bad vibes and they would finish under 500. I'm going to take an L on that one.
We did, yeah. So if you're still listening to us, thanks, guys. It's important to remember that at the end of the day, we are full of shit.
That's right. I think,
but
we
say it with our whole chest.
You sent to me that we had hubris about our picks from the year before, because everything we said went so well.
Like, yeah, we nailed so many things the year before.
Like, we were geniuses.
Yeah, we were like, wow, we have, because the 2023 tackle class has pretty much played out exactly as we thought it would in
crazy.
Terms of Dardale Wright and Skoronski, and it's really played out exactly how we thought it would. But looking at some of those offensive linemen last year, I'm like, oh. You know, and some of those guys got, I really, it's a shame that was it Fatanu that got drafted by Pittsburgh? Mm-hmm. It's a shame he got injured so early. I would have liked to see how that played out, because you and I had a point of divergence on Fatanu. I still think he's going to be a very good player. You were not quite so sure.
I thought he was going to be a good guard. They put him at tackle, and I thought he was holding his own.
They put him at tackle because they have already given up on Broderick Jones, it seems like, to some extent. And why? Because, as we talked about when we talked about Broderick Jones, the man, he doesn't, I don't know what to do with my hands.
He has no technique, though, man.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, we're going to find a time that we can bring Quentin, a.k.a. Butka Stats, on to talk offensive lines. So we got that to look forward to. You know what, though? I mentioned him in passing earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
Should the Bears make a move to bring back Keenan Allen? And if they do not, what are we doing about that third wide receiver spot, that slot wide receiver spot? Which, the entire Lions offense ran through Amon-Ra. So I don't think you can just not have that underneath guy, that route running guy in this offense. Yeah. I don't know that Keenan is up to the task of being that guy anymore, but if he's not, who's going to be that guy? Is that a position you address in the draft? That's a hell of a lot to put on a rookie.
Well, Kyle, how dare you not have faith in Tyler Scott, first of all, the internet's foremost Tyler Scott lover. Morris here.
That's true.
Also, another one of your favorite players is available this offseason. For the first time in his career, he's hit the open market, Kyle. Chris Godwin is out there and available.
I knew you were going to say something. This was all set up for how I'd like them to explore.
You thought I didn't see that Chris Godwin was available?
No, I said I think that would be a good move. I think that would be a good move. I do. I think it could work.
I don't know why you think that would be fine. Is it because you just have personally defended Chris Godwin to me for 5 years now?
He's a good wide receiver. He is a good wide receiver. He ain't flashy, but he does what needs to be done. So I would like them to explore a mid-range contract for Chris Godwin. Unfortunately, this wide receiver class is weak as hell. So I don't know that a mid-range contract for him is a possibility. I wouldn't want to overpay for him. But yeah, I do think that's one of the big question marks, because I don't think anyone is ranking that as the Bears' top or even second biggest need. I think most people know the interior offensive line and then finding some answer at edge rusher. Those are still the two biggest concerns on this roster.
Yeah.
But it's pretty hard to make Ben Johnson, or at least we haven't seen a version of Ben Johnson's offense so far that hasn't been driven primarily through a world-class slot guy like Amon-Ra. Doesn't mean he can't do it. I'm sure he's a very creative dude. I'm sure he can figure out how to make Rome Odunze and DJ Moore work. And DJ can do some cool stuff in the slot.
I was going to say, I think worst case scenario, he just shoves DJ's ass in the slot.
But, do you really associate, especially after this year, is crisp route running what you associate with DJ Moore?
I feel like he was put in such a bad position for what he does this year, wasn't he?
Was it Steve Smith who said basically that the Bears wide receivers were just doing cardio? Was that?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. DJ Moore was being asked to do none of the things that he does well. And, how many wide receivers screened?
To be fair, he responded really fucking poorly to that.
He did. He was not happy.
I still have some anger with DJ Moore, and I have some anger with DJ Moore in terms of, the effect that had on Caleb Williams, no doubt. But I at the same time, I do understand the frustration for sure. So yeah, I think if they'd make a move in free agency at slot wide receiver, what they do at slot wide receiver, I think that's one way or another. This is, you can't walk into the start of the season with just Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, and then a huge drop off to Tyler Scott at wide receiver. They're going to have to figure out something in there for a wide receiver three. I'm curious what they do.
God damn, your faith in Tyler Scott has waned completely.
He did nothing. He did nothing.
Yeah, but a lot of Bears did nothing here. Cole Kmet disappeared completely off this roster because Shane Waldron waved his hand in the air and then never showed Caleb Williams any tape. So Caleb made his own little room where he could watch that by himself.
God, that is the saddest fucking thing I've ever heard, and I'm a Bears fan.
Jesus Christ.
Hold on, Travis. What was Tyler Scott's stat line this year, Travis?
Oh, my God. No Googling. God.
Give it to me. Give me Tyler Scott's stat line.
I don't remember a single catch, so I'm going to say 3 catches for 93 yards somehow. How about that? There was like one game where he got a 50-yard pass or something.
Was there? There was not.
I don't think so.
It was one target, one catch, 5 yards for the entire season. That was the Tyler Scott experience. So,
I mean,
not to be confused with the Todd Johnson experience, but
I don't know where the reps would have come from, being that he was behind DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, and Keenan Allen, plus 2 tight ends.
But I mean,
Everett needed to be on the field for some reason.
We had a stretch there where Keenan Allen was not around.
That's true.
And he couldn't take advantage of it. We got 14 targets for DeAndre Carter instead.
R.I.P. Tyler.
I do think it's a question of what. So Velus Jones actually had 3 more yards receiving this year than Tyler Scott.
I never finished my thought from earlier. You son of a bitch, you kept going. There's one name that we need to add to the Bad Bears tournament. There's no question the Ferret King has to be added.
Oh, yeah, Velus. Yes. The question
Velus Jones Jr.
The question will be, does he go in the drafted disappointments region, or does he go in the why are you here region?
The
why are you here. Yeah, the just why. Definitely seems like he's up there with the Mustafers of the world, where it's like, why are you still here 2 years after everyone else but the people running the Chicago Bears figured out you weren't up to the job? Like, why are
you? He's a powerful contender because he's a why did we draft you as high as we did, and
why did
you
get so many opportunities? Yes, that's
the problem here, Kyle, is, and I think we need to add 2 this year because Nate Davis can't go another second without being on that list either, can he?
Nate Davis, that's right. Oh my God, that we add a lot.
Yeah,
to
this was a very disappointing fucking season, Kyle.
Yeah, God damn, this is a dark fucking period.
This is a dark period. Kyle, we were almost 5-2. We were one game, one pass from 5-2. During this NFL season.
It's funny because football is just one of those sports where you don't normally like it. I often get really annoyed with people actually trying to reduce football down to narratives, you know, where you try to reduce to a single moment in time. But I truly have never seen a team so thoroughly broken by one play, by one moment in time, because of what it revealed just about everything about their culture and really about how their culture was just bullshit. It was fake. The whole thing was fake. Matt Eberflus is the biggest phony in professional coaching history. So it was a behind the scenes article about the Bears' frustrations with him. And I think one of the quotes from one of the players, an honest quote from the player, was like, you know, what are you once you run out of catchphrases, was what someone said about Matt Eberflus. And they were like, we realized there was nothing there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's a
brutal own. We're 5-2. There are definitely some candidates. I'm almost wondering with Shane Waldron, with Matt Eberflus, you know, do we have some kind of coaching version of the tournament in our future? What is this year's tournament? Do we even do a tournament, or do we do something like?
This season, this offseason, I believe what we're going to do is we're going to bring Eric on. And it's going to be some like rapid fire top 5s. We're going to talk about like our individual, you know, maybe 5, maybe it's 5 worst offensive coordinators. Maybe we rank the worst coaches. Maybe we rank our favorite players, because I know we don't want to combine favorite Bears players. We want to talk about our own personal lists. I think we're going to kind of rapid fire some stuff off and have some fun.
Yeah, we'll have to sit that down and think that out. That comes post draft, because we're in that little dead zone after the draft. And obviously, the next time we're here, we'll probably be reacting to free agency or right before free agency. So we'll obviously we usually get an episode or two out of the free agency reactions, free agency talk, before we really start getting into the month of draft. And breaking it. So we'll do an episode for quarterbacks. I don't think we're there's an episode, maybe an episode for wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs all together, just offensive skill players. I think you have to
combine them, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like last year, where I mean, that wide receiver class will go down in history. We will. Yeah. I could have done three episodes on the wide receivers last year. But this year, I think, you know, just looking at the offensive skill players, they could lump them all together. We'll probably, and then we'll give the offensive line its own episode, the defensive line its own episode. But yeah, we'll get into that. We are, as we say, in the Bears, truly in the Bears season now. We always do our best off-season content in the off-season, because that's when their hope is fresh and the Bears are still worth discussing.
That's right. Okay, Kyle, a question for free agency coming up. We talked about how it seems like the Bears are going after Trey Smith. It seems like Trey Smith is interested in the Bears. It all makes sense. There are connections there. If the Bears don't get Trey Smith, let's say day one pops and the fucking Jaguars sign him or something
ridiculous. I think if they don't get Trey Smith, it's because the Kansas City reverses course. And in the NFL, once a team decides to keep their own player, they almost always do.
Okay, let's say Kansas City keeps him a day before, and we all cry tears of sadness. What does a successful Bears free agency period look like there? Is there a successful Bears free agency without Trey Smith?
Yeah, but I think it's more of a shotgun approach then. I think that's when you go after Kevin Zeitler and a couple other. You definitely get Drew Dolman then in that situation for sure. You lock down center, you throw bodies at guard with the acknowledgement that like you're gonna approach it from both angles. You're gonna throw a couple quality free agent stop gaps, and you're gonna attack the position in the draft. You know, you might sign a Kevin Zeitler and another guard as a stop gap, but you're also drafting maybe a Kelvin Banks with the intention of kicking him inside, or someone else with, you know, drafting a couple guards. You're not just going to let one B-list free agent signing at guard be your offseason there.
Does that...
But, I mean, it would significantly diminish the...
To re-sign Tevin Jenkins. Is that what we have to do at that point?
No. I think that bridges... I don't...
Who's the next best guard on the market after Trey Smith? And why is it not Tevin Jenkins? I think the closest guy would be Will Freeze.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably...
Coming off of a devastating injury? Tevin Jenkins, he of the seasonly injuries.
Yeah, I mean, there's... Okay. I mean, I can see where you're coming from there.
Right. That's now I don't mean to scare you here, but this is my thought. We miss out on Trey Smith, and suddenly we just don't really have a thing to fix the interior of the offensive line. Yeah, we can grab Drew Dolman maybe if he's interested in playing for the Bears.
I think maybe you make a move. Like, obviously, you do a couple stop gaps in terms of, you know, Zach Martin. Obviously, he's not what he was, but I think that's, you know, I would pivot and I would just say, fine, give me a Zach Martin and a Kevin Zeitler, and then we'll also draft a couple guys. We'll throw four bodies at guard. We'll have veterans and a clear succession plan behind them is what I do versus overpaying. Because you have to give Tevin Jenkins a multi-year deal, and I'm not comfortable in any scenario doing that. I'd rather give the biggest one-year contract that I can to a Kevin Zeitler and a Zach Martin.
So is it about numbers with Tev? Because what if the free agent market rejects what he thinks he's worth, right? They see the injuries, and they say, I'm sorry, man, we're not going to commit that kind of money to you. What is it? Is it the length of the deal? If Tev says, hey, one year, $10 million, you guys have the cap room.
Honestly... No, it's literally just the durability for me, because...
Okay. It's been too much over the last few years.
Consistency in front of Caleb Williams, because they had so many injuries on the offensive line this year. They rotated so many guys in and out. Consistency, I would value guys who have been durable over anything, right? And Kevin Zeitler just shows up every year, cashes his check, and plays. He's... rarely misses a start. I would prioritize that with a Kevin Zeitler, you know, with a Zach Martin over, you know, Tevin Jenkins maybe having higher theoretical upside at this point, but just you can bank in the missed games. And I think trying to, as best you can, keep the same starting five in front of Caleb Williams, letting him learn to trust those guys, trust his protection, adjust his drops, and just get the feel for, like, all right, I know my on this play, I know where my guy is going to be. I can trust this pocket. I can do that's so important to me. And I think you need guys who are healthy and consistent to do that. Tevin just isn't that.
Okay. Let's talk about consistency then, Kyle. If we miss out on Trey Smith, old friend of the Chicago Bears and this podcast, James Daniels is available this offseason. He had an injury to end last year. However, otherwise, he has been very healthy, extremely reliable, and just like a pretty cromulent guard, I would say. Is that something you're interested in?
I would be fine with that, but I just can't imagine the Bears doing that, because I think if Ryan Poles, for whatever reason, saw James Daniels as a quality guard, he'd have been in Chicago the last couple of years. I don't know.
He's a failure, like, too hard.
Yeah, it never made sense to me that he didn't think James Daniels was worth keeping at the time. I didn't get it then. Still don't get it. He has been a perfectly cromulent guard in Pittsburgh. I mean, he's been a perfectly cromulent guard his entire career. Nothing special, but just, you know, we had in James Daniels and in Charles Leno both just two perfectly cromulent offensive linemen. And again, proving that I've referenced a million times in this podcast, the old Bill James adage that bad organizations focus their criticism on their best players. Mm-hmm. It was never, you know, the problem was always the three dumpster fires who were usually around those two, but like so much of the criticism was on Charles Leno for not being nasty enough, James Daniels for not being nasty enough. Like, what is wrong with a guy just showing up and being above average at his position? Yeah. Why is that so in this franchise? I don't care how spectacularly Tevin pancakes guys 6 weeks out of the year when he's on the bench for the rest, when he's in the ice tub for the rest of it. I don't know why. He's nasty, I guess. Look what that gets you. So I don't think James Daniels, I mean, I'd be fine with it. I would encourage me that Ryan Poles is capable of admitting a mistake like that, but I don't see it happening because of that. I think if Ryan Poles believed in James Daniels, he'd have been a Chicago Bear already.
I think that's fair. I think it's unfortunately fair. And yeah, I mean, I agree with you. We never should have let James Daniels go. And I fear that we are just going to let him walk past again here. Well, I guess that's kind of all I have about this free agency. It really all rests on Trey Smith for me.
Yeah.
Once we get past Trey, it's plugging holes temporarily. There's no guy here who's fixing our problems everywhere else.
Well, you asked if there's like a successful offseason or free agency where the Bears don't sign Trey Smith. I think there's a successful one, but I don't know that there is an exciting or a good one. I think you can plug holes if you don't get Trey Smith, but I don't think you can really find a core building block without Trey Smith. I think he's the only one available, if he even becomes available. So. Yeah. And a part of me is trying not to let myself believe he's actually going to hit the market, because like I said, we've been bamboozled before. We have bought the rumors before.
We have, absolutely. And I hope that our new reserved approach is being smiled upon by the gods, because we got Ben Johnson.
We're doing it again. Yes, we were smote for our hubris. We're not doing that again for now.
That's right.
Bear in mind, the minute the Bears actually, if they ever do start winning anything, we will be so unbearably smug and arrogant.
Our whole lives have been us preparing to be smug and overbearing and shitty
with
every other fan base.
We will make Patriots fans look like goddamn saints if the moment ever comes.
You think you're annoyed by Chiefs fans now?
Oh, man.
People from Kansas City don't know how to be half as shitty as we could be if the Bears had any sort of winning record.
I could be so shitty if I just had a chance.
I'm so ready to be shitty, Satan.
I'm so ready.
The Bears a Super Bowl.
So ready to be hated.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. And yeah, next week we'll come back. We'll continue with the off-season business.
I don't know. I don't want to promise next week because, like, if nothing really happens, because free agency hasn't happened yet. So, like, are we really going to come back here in a week and be like, what are we going to talk about?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Hold up. Well, you know, don't maybe something interesting will happen that's good, but maybe something interesting will happen that's bad. We'll have to come back and talk about it.
Maybe next week, maybe 2-3 weeks, we'll see. So,
all right, folks, to the nebulous future. See you next time.
To the nebulous future. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.